Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's April the 29th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, and Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services will join us to take up the energy markets. In agricultural news, in Washington, they found a way to pay for the farm bill, but they're still tinkering with details like payment limits. And the Show Me State, Missouri, considers rolling back its 10% ethanol mandate. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Hey, in just about 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast, so you ought to stay with us for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report. The Closing Mark Report is a production of WILL AM 580, a broadcasting service of the College of Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures in the wheat pit nearby contract May at $7.94, down 32 today. July futures at 808.5, down 32.5. In December, wheat at 841.25, down 32.25. May wheat for the hard red in Kansas City at $8.48 today, down 28 cents. May corn futures down 8.75 at $5.91.25. July at 604.5, down 9 cents. September 6.14.75, 9.25 lower, and December contract at $6.22, down 8.25 cents. May soybean futures from Chicago 4 cents lower, $12.79.5 the trade. July at $12.93.5 on the settlement, down 4 cents. And the August beans $12.81.5, 1.5 cents lower. November futures gained 4 cents at $12.5 for the day. May bean meal futures at $3.27.20, down $4.10. The July futures at $333, and they were down $2.50. May bean oil at $57.09, down 66 cents. July down the same at 66 lower, $57.82 for the day. April live cattle futures, 91.17.5, 22.5 cents lower, and June futures at 92.77.5. down 97.5 cents. May feeder cattle at $105.35 a hundredweight, down $1.37.5. The August at 108.22.5, 95 cents lower. May lean hogs at 73.75, down $2. June at 72.55, down 2.90. This is the Closing Market Report. Taking a look at the outside markets for the day, here's what the crude oil futures are currently doing. $115.80 a barrel in the nearby June contract at $2.95 lower. July at $114.75, down $3.07. May ethanol at $2.49 1/10, down 4 5/10 cents. June futures at $2.43 1/10. That's down 2.4 cents for the day. And the June natural gas, that is, at $10.84 2/10 cents, 48 7/10 lower. July futures at $10.97 7/10, down 47 1/2 for the day. Gold futures are trading the May contract at $874.27 an ounce, down $18.70 at this hour. The U.S. dollar is at 72.82. That's up 0.32 for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at $12,872. It's up just about 82 points on the afternoon. Here's what the forecast looks like for the two-state region from our own Mike Sola. He says a freeze warning for northern Indiana is in effect, along with a freeze watch for central Indiana. Both are issued for late tonight, right on through Wednesday morning tonight. He calls for clear to partly cloudy skies from Mike Sola. Lows will range from 30 in northern Indiana to 42 in western Illinois. Tomorrow in the north, partly sunny, elsewhere mostly sunny. Highs will range from 56 in northeastern Indiana to 75 in the southwestern part of Illinois. The extended weather forecast looks like this. Warmer temperatures will return over the next several days, with some above-average temps closing out the week. Near-average temps are expected this week and early next week before another round of above-average temperatures. You're listening to WILL AM 580.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural futures is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
What'd you make of the crop progress report from yesterday afternoon?
Well, you know, we knew it would be slow, but we didn't think it would even be as slow as it actually was, Todd. So, you know, that was below the estimates. We saw a nice little pop in the overnight, and we couldn't seem to maintain it today because of the crude oil sell-off, the gold sell-off, and maybe some end-of-the-month sell-off by some of the funds.
And how do you view the next several days of trade?
Well, I think, you know, we went up, we made the new highs, we set back here a little bit. I'm not sure whether we consolidate or move down just a little bit more before we do start our upward run again, depending upon the weather forecasts, of course, Todd. I think, number one, we're going to be keeping a close eye on what the weatherman says and what sort of crop progress we will be making and what we're looking ahead to making over the next 2 weeks here that way, because it's going to be very important. If we can get the majority of the corn in the ground by May 10th, why, we'll be a lot better off. But if we get after that, why, we're going to see some yield loss and some people getting very concerned about that.
We had a split panel on Commodity Week this past week with one person thinking things would go a bit higher or stay steady, the other two thinking things would go lower. Where do you stand for the corn?
On the corn, I'm going to be sort of in between that because I think it's going to go higher than we got today because of some problems down the road, but I don't know that it's going to stay up there. I mean, you know, as we broke through, we're yesterday afternoon, when last evening's trade, it took us up to the point that took us out of the technical triangle there and did project up more to the 660 to 690 bracket on the corn. But some of the momentum is fading away, and it's the wrong time of the year to probably want to go that high without some more weather problems, Todd. So, you know, I think we can do both. I think we can trade a little higher and a little lower than where we're at.
I see that the Argentine farmers are still not very happy with their government, and they may go back on strike by the end of the week. What do you make of that one?
Well, you know, yesterday that was worth at least 50 cents to the downside in the beans and also some other problems there. So that's how we know that it's worth at least that much more back up if they go back on strike and look to shift some stuff our way. And as far as we're talking about the beans, there was talks about some China cancellations today, a load of bean oil out of South America, and maybe 1 to 2 cargoes of soybeans out of the Pacific Northwest today, which for a while was a little bit heavy on the bean market. And, of course, the old beans staying lower on the day, but not anywhere near their lows.
Any news on the ethanol front that you've been hearing?
Well, you know, they keep talking. We've got the Texas senator that's wanting to, you know, put a freeze on the ethanol mandates and things going along that way. We saw President Bush talk today wanting to lean towards a little more renewable fuels, but wanting to talk a little bit more about the cellulosic rather than the corn ethanol. But, you know, as we've been reading some articles, we're seeing some real improvements towards the green side of the ethanol and how it has improved its efficiency and is doing better. And it is good for the country. And I think if we look at some of the real statistics, ethanol's not the main thing that's driving the corn price up. I imagine it's worth, you know, 40 cents of this corn run up, but the rest of it has to do with crude oil and the deflation of the dollar, Todd. So I wish they'd maybe get that story out rather than what they're seeing on MSNBC continually about how crude oil is starving people in the world, I mean ethanol.
You have any message for the folks over in Missouri? Is their General Assembly, I think that's what it's called, their legislators consider rolling back that 10% ethanol? We'll hear mandate in their state. We'll hear more about that from Dave Bickey just a bit later.
I think that's just about as stupid as the part of our presidential candidates wanting to take the gas tax off. I don't know why we want to kill our infrastructure and not have money to replace our roads. I think we need to worry about getting some renewable fuels and also doing some a little more oil exploration and maybe building some refineries instead of taking away some of the valuable tax. Without an infrastructure, we're in a very bad situation.
And finally, are you stalled in the field over there, or is anybody working today?
We have a few that are out planting corn today. More that'll go back in tomorrow, of course. And we're in a very fortunate area. I think that we're making some progress over here, not as fast as usual, but it still says April on the calendar, and we're probably seeing 30% of our corn planted in our area.
Telling your producers to be patient as far as marketing?
I think that, you know, we did market some corn. 640 was our one goal. We've said that for the last couple of weeks. And between the 630 and 640, we did market another increment of corn here today, yesterday and today. So, but we're being patient for another move up to sell some more.
All right. Thanks much.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That one happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. If you'd like to hear this program again or you don't get a chance to hear it during the day, you can certainly pick it up off of our website. The address is fairly easy to remember. It's willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can listen to MP3 files, sign up to have it delivered to you as a podcast, and sign up for a really good and free weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe on the right-hand side of the page. Dave Dickey writes that one, and he does our agricultural news. He's here now to take us through what's been happening in the news for the day.
In agricultural news, Farm Bill negotiators are considering a plan that would bar subsidies to people with high off-farm income, but set no income cutoff if the money comes from agricultural sources. Farm Bill Conference Committee Chairman and Iowa Democrat Tom Harkin says, quote, "It is a dicey subject." And House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson says he thinks a deal can be reached.
Everybody kind of always wants to get into a fight over between big farmers and little farmers and whether we should be subsidizing and all these other issues, payment limits. We're very close to having that resolved. The one thing that was outlying is the AGI payment limit issue, which we have not at this point officially resolved, but I think we're close.
Meanwhile, conferees are meeting today to begin what they hope is the final phase of writing a House-Senate compromise bill. But the work in the past several days has not impressed the White House. Bush administration spokesperson Scott Stansel says, quote, "The Farm Bill proposal currently being discussed lacks important reforms. Members of the Congress have not risen to the challenge." Missouri is considering rolling back a state law requiring gasoline to contain 10% ethanol. Missouri State Representative Neil Say-Anji, chair of the House Transportation Committee, says Missouri lawmakers did not delve deeply enough into ethanol's impact on food and livestock feed. Missouri may consider a rollback of the ethanol mandate before the end of its legislative session next month. The move comes in the wake of Texas asking the U.S. EPA for a 50% waiver of the mandate for grain-based ethanol production. Truckers went to Capitol Hill yesterday to protest soaring diesel fuel costs, calling on Congress to stop subsidizing big oil companies, release oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserves, and end exports of oil from Alaska. The White House says there is nothing the government can do to help lower gasoline prices this spring and summer. A Bush administration spokesperson says the U.S. should try to increase domestic production and seek alternative fuel sources. Tyson Foods reported yesterday that it lost $5 million for the 3 months ending in March, compared with a profit of $68 million for the same period a year ago. Tyson President and CEO Richard Bond says when compared with the previous fiscal year, costs for corn and soybean meal this year are likely to be as much as $600 million higher. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You can hear those two programs online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, up next, we'll hear from the NAS statisticians in Illinois, Nebraska, and Minnesota. Here's how the numbers stacked up from yesterday's crop progress report. Nationally, just 10% of the corn crop has been planted. Last year, that figure was twice as big, and the rolling five-year average is even greater at 35%. Notably, Iowa stands at 3% complete, 30 points behind the average. And as you'll hear shortly, Illinois is 49% behind the five-year average. Even Minnesota is lagging by 26 points.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending April 27th. Temperatures averaged over 5 degrees above normal across the state of Illinois this past week. Unfortunately, near-normal precipitation accumulations averaging just over 8-tenths of an inch once again prevented farmers from making much progress planting corn. Topsoil moisture dried down only slightly and was rated 1% very short, 1% short, 47% adequate, and 51% surplus. The wettest topsoil ratings continue to be centered within the two southernmost crop reporting districts. However, the northwest and west crop reporting districts reported average rainfall totals in excess of 1 inch, with reports of flooding in many areas. Corn planting advanced by only 5 percentage points last week at 6% complete. That compares to 29% last year and 55% for the five-year average. The soft red winter wheat crop was reported at 1% headed compared to 7% for last year and the five-year averages. Overall, the wheat crop was rated in fair to mostly good condition. Oat seeding is now 54% complete compared to 74% last year and the five-year average of 89%. Pastures, alfalfa, and red clover fields were once again rated in fair to mostly good condition and were showing excellent growth. The first cutting of alfalfa will likely begin for many forage producers within the next 2 weeks. And in closing, thanks to all of the crop reporters across the state who made this week's progress and condition report possible. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending April 27, 2008. Below average temperatures and wet weather at the end of the week hindered row crop planting. Corn planted progressed slowly to 9% statewide. This is behind last year and 6 days behind the average. Winter wheat conditions are rated 59% good or excellent. Wheat jointed was 11 days behind the average at 12%. Oats planted is now even with last year but slightly behind the average. Oats emerged was at 28%. Alfalfa conditions were at 71% good or excellent. Pasture and range conditions came in at 65% good or excellent. Spring calving was near 93% complete with mostly average calf losses. This has been Becky Summer of the USDA NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the weekly crop weather summary for the week ending April 27, 2008. Cool weather and late April snow and rain slowed spring work across the state. As of April 27th, land preparation and plantings for all crops were about 2 weeks behind the five-year average. As of Sunday, April 27th, land prepared for corn planting was 3% complete compared to 29% last year and 41% for the average. Land prepared for planting soybeans was 1% complete compared to 5% last year and 10% for the average. Spring wheat was 6% planted compared to 15% last year and 33% for the average. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending April 27th, 2008. I'm Doug Hartwig with USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason, joined on a Tuesday afternoon by Steve Platt of Archer Financial Services. It's an ADM affiliate in Chicago to take up the agricultural energy markets. Hi, Steve. Thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me, where do you want to start? You want to start with crude oil? You want to start with ethanol and 570 corn? What do you think?
Well, both markets have a lot going with them here this past couple of weeks. Certainly the crude oil has, made a pretty strong move to the upside. Today, though, we finally saw a significant break, although we're still holding against some of the support at 114.5 basis June. There is certainly some questions about the durability of this rally amidst the weakness in the margins that we've seen and weak demand. But the market has generally held up on supply concerns, particularly out of Nigeria. The ethanol situation has also been pretty interesting. It's coming to a head in terms of the battle between food for energy. And certainly the energy component is taking it, I think, a little bit on the chin with Congress possibly rolling back some of the targets in terms of the renewable program.
Sure, that would be on the behest of Texas governor, who asked for half of the waiver, I think, to be rolled back. If he is successful, that would be not for just Texas, because that's not the way the mandates are written. He'd have to prove that has to be done for the entire nation. On the other hand, there are places like Minnesota and Missouri that have their own mandates, and Missouri apparently is considering rolling back its 10% ethanol mandate. Good or bad idea?
Well, certainly for the livestock producer, it's a great idea. Possibly for the consumer who is going to be hit anyway, it's probably a little bit of a worse idea. Where do you find the middle ground? That's the key. And I guess in terms of intervention in markets, it's on my and I guess I certainly don't favor it. I feel markets need to basically go where they're most efficient. And certainly the government being involved on the ethanol side has forced some dislocations that has moved throughout the food chain.
I was making note of a couple of rumors today that I chased down on ethanol production and the ability of the plants continue to operate. Both of them, I guess, in my opinion, were not worth really reporting. Have you heard anything from the ethanol plant side? Are they doing okay still?
Just going through the numbers and putting pencils to it, it still seems like they're making the profit margins that will keep them going even at these price levels, and that certainly is surprising. But if we do take gasoline down and likewise ethanol, it could put them in a very precarious position.
You have any targets that will make that happen?
Well, you probably would have to be looking at prices back down toward that $2.20 to $2 area on ethanol. If we got below $2, I would think certainly renewed concerns. But likewise, the corn price would have to be a key determinant. But given the corn prices here today, that certainly would be a problem.
Ethanol, of course, now trading, around 250 for the nearby June at 243 or thereabouts?
Correct. Okay. Correct.
Any final word before I let you go for the day?
Just that you do certainly have to think some of these markets are overbought. They're focused on the dollar. Maintain a close eye on those influences along with the demand side. I think that could be a source of vulnerability here near term, but the longer-term supply prospects for crude are questionable.
Thanks much, Steve.
Have a good day.
Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. That's an ADM affiliate in Chicago. In 2 minutes, we'll take up the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
It's National Shrimp Scampi Day. Shrimp were well known by the ancient Romans and Greeks, but shrimp scampi, as known in America, did not become popular until after World War II, when a number of Italian dishes went mainstream, often appearing as a staple on cafe and restaurant menus. One of the most popular dishes consisted of large prawn tails coated in breadcrumbs and deep fried. Incidentally, scampi is not one set recipe, but a generic name applied to several dishes composed of shrimp. On this day in agricultural history in 1768, George Brandt died. A Swedish chemist, he discovered the element cobalt in 1730. Cobalt is used in steelmaking and is an essential part of vitamin B12. In 1856, a shipment of 33 camels arrived at the Texas port of Indianola. They had been purchased on the North African coast for the U.S. Army to use in the deserts of the Southwest. In 1873, the first U.S. patent for a railroad coupler was issued to E.H. Janney of Alexandria, Virginia. And in 1998, Brazil, in light of increased soybean acres, agreed to set aside about 62 million acres of the Amazon rainforest for conservation. The cost of the project was estimated as much as $156 million. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is the voice of Cheyenne, Wyoming meteorology, Don Day. Airs at the top and the bottom of the hour on 6:50 a.m. there. And here on Tuesdays on AM 580, WILL Urbana. Good afternoon to you, Don. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be here.
Sounds like there you've got sunny skies, what, 72 degrees and maybe getting a little warmer for the day, but then you get cold in Wyoming, don't you?
Yeah, there is going to be it's going to be a newsmaker. There's going to be a strong spring storm that's going to be spinning up over the north central high plains. It's going to bring some beneficial moisture to Nebraska, some of the wheat areas of South Dakota, North Dakota, and then later on, as the system pulls east, it will get areas of Minnesota and Wisconsin and northwest Iowa with some moisture as well. It's going to be a big storm with both rain and snow in those areas.
And if you look at the Midwest, what do you see?
Well, we see part of this system dragging a cold front through and bringing increasing chances for shower and thunderstorm activity as we get into the weekend and into early next week. The trend is starting to get a little bit more active again. We've had some recent spells here of drier weather and warmer weather conditions, but we may start here in the first week of May a little cooler and a little wetter.
And if you look a little further out than that, did we ever get dry weather here?
Completely dry, still don't see it yet. In fact, out to 10 to 15 days, our long-range charts continue to show an active weather pattern west to east across the lower 48 states. We don't see that signature yet that we tend to see with high pressure building over the central United States. That usually is a signal that we've started to change the seasons permanently now. So it's going to be another 10 days before we can really say that we're getting to that pattern where we'd like to be, warmer and drier, and at least on a more consistent basis.
Kind of interesting weather across the United States. Have you been watching other parts of the globe, and where might be the interesting points today?
Well, China's looking pretty wet. In fact, all of the growing areas of China looking at to see an increasing stormy weather over the course of the next week to 10 days there. Temperatures not far from average, but wet in many areas of China. Over into Europe, where they've had some moisture, they're going to probably get a little bit more. Looks like Eastern Europe, some of the wheat areas of the Ukraine and Hungary, Germany, those areas look at good moisture over the next week to 10 days. So in the Northern Hemisphere, some of the key growing areas going to be getting some moisture. Some areas don't want to see any more, but some areas could use a little bit. In the Southern Hemisphere, it's dry, unfortunately, for Australia. And South America, they're dried out as well.
And, of course, they are in South America, at least in the latter half of the soybean harvest. And dry, I suppose they'll continue to harvest.
Yeah, they'll continue to harvest, especially Argentina, southern Brazil. They're looking at a little bit of a drier pattern.
All right, thanks much.
Thank you.
That's Don Day, the voice of KGAB at 6:50 a.m. in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Right here on the Closing Market Report, be sure to visit our website. You can hear his forecast again if you'd like at WILLAG.org. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.